Metropolitans, a very good afternoon and a warm welcome to Kaya FM. As you know, we always try to bring you conversations which relate to investment growth purposes for us as wealth creators in this generation. But what happens when you actually try to invest in a BEE investment outlet and then it isn't as successful as what you anticipated it to be? That's exactly what we look to uncover, especially focusing on Sasol Khanyisa. Many of you might be aware that Sasol Inzalo came to an end and stopped trading on the JSE earlier in the month of May, and we have yet to see the launch of Sasol Khanyisa, which will be taking place in September. Joining us now on the line to tell us more, we're joined by Sureya Hay, Head of Corporate Finance at Bravura. Great to have you with us, Sureya. Before we actually get into some of the technicalities, let's take two steps back and look at Sasol Inzalo, the structure and the different shares that were available, one listed on an over-the-counter platform and one that was initially listed on the Johannesburg Stock Exchange.
So Sasol Inzalo was the scheme that Sasol implemented, obviously, and that happened at the listed company level with funding both internally, so vendor finance, as well as externally. And the outcome or the commercials of that was that the outcome of the transaction would have always been driven significantly by the share price of the listed company. And obviously the biggest influences on the share price would be the oil price and the rand-dollar exchange. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, at the termination date, both of those were significantly down. So the end result was that none of the participants in the scheme had any value left. And that included the employee share ownership program, the public, as well as the foundation, the Inzalo Foundation. And obviously, we all recall that Sasol then had another 13 billion odd that they had to repay to the banks. So that is, in summary, just what happened with the previous scheme, which terminated at the end of last year.
I must tell you that this naturally makes a lot more sense, and looking in retrospect, was an investment opportunity for many South Africans from previously disadvantaged backgrounds to really try to participate in this wealth creation strategy and, of course, the investment opportunity. But there's something peculiar about BEE structures, right, which actually leads to some of them failing, unfortunately. And that's how they structured. In order to allow black South Africans to participate at a cheaper rate, there's actually a strong consolidation or component of debt that's contributed to these BEE schemes. Tell us where this money comes from and why it's actually viewed as debt to those who are investing in these particular schemes.
Look, Aletta, so the biggest problem with these schemes is, obviously, without capital, it is very difficult to make capital investments. So these BEE investments all have to be funded in some or other way. And typically, these funding terms would be somewhere between 7 and, say, 10 years. And we all understand that commercially, it isn't viable for any of us to lend money 100%, go and buy shares on the JSE, and then to hope that over a period of 7 to 10 years, we will be able to pay off all the capital as well as all the interest that they have accumulated. And in short, that is the problem with these transactions. If people do not have their own equity that they can put down, then the funding transactions are, because of their short term and also often because of these terms, just quite unsustainable.
So if we put things into perspective, when the company actually pays off dividends to the BEE shareholders, they're not only paying dividends to myself, maybe, as a BEE investor, but they also need to pay a portion of that dividend to settle the debt. Would that be correct?
That is absolutely right. And they have to also settle the accumulated interest on the debt.
Exactly. Makes sense. So it's all a numbers game here and seeking to provide opportunities for us to participate, but it can get quite technical. Is this fundamentally where a lot of BEE schemes have actually gone wrong in South Africa? I can name quite a few, and African Bank obviously comes to mind because that banking company within itself actually fell apart. But we also had the likes of MTN Zakhele, who eventually launched Zakhele Futhi, MultiChoice with Putu Manati, and you've also got Media 24 with Valco Mizani, just to name a few. If this is a common mistake happening across the board, are we not looking at alternatives to fix it just yet?
So definitely the market is looking at alternatives. If you look at what Sasol is doing with the new scheme, mm-hmm. they've really made two significant changes. And the changes is, number one, it is now internally funded only. So it means that it is funded by the Sasol group itself, so not by external banks. So it is, if you want to call it, softer or more friendlier debt. And when I say that, I mean both in terms of term, potentially, but also in terms of funding rate. So that assists, it puts flexibility into the system. And I think the second thing is, Sasol has now done the new transaction, not on the listed company level, but on the level of the subsidiary in South Africa, which means that the outcome isn't dependent on what the share price does on a specific day. It actually depends more on the underlying operations and cash flow of the South African business, which also gives a little bit more manageable outcome, if I can call it like that.
So for me as a BEE investor, what does that mean? Does it perhaps present that I'm more likely to get sustainable dividends or greater capital growth on my investment?
Yes, it means that there's a risk removed from your investment, which is that a blip in the market, say, it's Donald Trump and Kim Jong-un has a fiery exchange, for example, and that makes the market fall. And on that day, the scheme would have terminated previously. Now there's a period, and you get more of a, let me call it, a longevity position on the scheme. Mm-hmm. They can now list the shares. You know, there's not an all-fall down date. And that day is the date when the calculation happens and the debt needs to be repaid.
Afropolitans, we're in conversation with Soraya Hay, who's the head of corporate finance at Bravura, talking about the changes and lessons learned regarding BEE investment schemes and really focusing on Sasol Inzalo and now Sasol Khanyisa, set to be launched in September, as key case studies for us to evaluate. Soraya, I'm glad that you actually touched on some of the technicalities, but of course sometimes this becomes a bit of too much for us as average individuals to understand. So for someone who's trying to build up their research on opportunities like Sasol Khanyisa and many other BE investment opportunities that might come by, what do we need to look at? Maybe I have 20,000 Rand available to invest. Before I actually deploy that capital, what are the key fundamentals I should be evaluating before putting my money into a BE scheme?
So the same as with any other investment proposal, you will start and should start with the criteria of your investment. So what does the company operationally look like? What is it prospects? Only if the prospects are good and it's an interesting industry with obviously good corporate governance, etc., then you should go on to very specifically look to the funding terms. The funding terms need to be long enough and friendly enough to ensure that the outcome from your perspective could be successful. And if I can give you an example there.
Sure.
A very long time ago, when Standard Bank did their BEE transaction, and I literally now talk decades ago, they put a 20-year funding term on the transaction. Now, that is, you know, when you have to pay off 100% of your capital together with accumulated interest, that is often how long it can take to have an unencumbered stake at the end of the period.
Mm-hmm.
So those things are really very important mm-hmm. from an investment perspective.
Soraya, you've been a star explaining all these technicalities to us. And of course, fundamentally, we walk away feeling a lot more empowered, knowing that investment opportunities still exist for us as BEE shareholders. And of course, making sure that we go in there empowered with knowledge. That is Soraya Hay, who's the head of corporate finance at Bravura, joining us for our conversation today, looking at BEE investment stocks.
This is Kai.